Today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online is an encore presentation. For the latest EPP bonus episodes, brand new EPP bonus episodes, check out ghostpodcast.com.
When's the last time you successfully purchased an item through Craigslist or the classifieds? If you could think about it and it went well, then you are one of the lucky ones. In a recent EPP bonus episode, Classified Paranormal, things didn't go all so smoothly. It is a hauntingly disturbing story you don't want to miss.
I'd become an EPP for this story alone.
When you become an EPP, you're keeping our show on the air. And in exchange for your $5 a month donation to the show, you're getting access to more than 50 bonus episodes of the show, exclusive video content, archived shows, and more. The best thing is it keeps Real Ghost Stories Online alive and kicking. So please consider supporting the show, enjoy all of the bonus content, and help keep Real Ghost Stories Online alive.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your Real Ghost Story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
And on today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online, a community theater has many stories to tell. Most of them are not from the living. Also, a family is plagued by the dark man in the closet, and a listener knows the secret that resides in her brother's basement. Those stories, your calls, and more today on Real Ghost Stories Online. Tony and Jenny Bruschi joining you once again.
Hello.
Knows the secret that resides in her... Does her brother know the secret?
Yes.
Okay. So it's like a family secret? It's a brother killing people and hiding them in underneath the stairwell? And
not exactly.
Not exactly.
No.
So it's not like it's just flat out, no.
Well, he's not killing anybody. It has to do with a death in the basement.
Oh,
though.
Okay. Okay. Well, this should be interesting. I always like the headlines. It makes me wonder.
Good. That's the point.
Sometimes I'm right on with what I guess the story will be about. And sometimes it's something completely different. That's the fun of that. So our phone number is 855-853-4802. That's the way you can call in and share your real ghost story with us. Of course, you can also write it on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. So lots of ways to get your stories to us. And if we have some time here at the end of the episode, maybe we'll do a little bit of the Ask Tony and Jenny segment. I just the other day put up a question or an opportunity on Facebook for people to pose a bunch of questions. So we may get to some of those here at the end of the episode if we have some extra time. So that'll be fun.
We can learn about each other.
We can.
Yeah.
And we hold hands when we do that, and we look into each other's eyes, and we answer the questions.
Don't say weird shit.
All right. Kate writes in. That's our first letter of the day. I live in a tiny rural community with a tiny rundown community theater. The building itself is an old three-story school building, basement, ground floor, second floor. There have been multiple reports of ghosts in the physical forms of a child and a man, as well as the voice of a woman and other odd happenings. To our knowledge, no one has ever died in the building. The only serious injury we are aware of actually happened to the uncle of one of the current board members, actors, volunteers back in the 50s or 60s. The uncle, who was a preteen at the time, was heading down the stairs into the basement where the cafeteria was located. Being a boy, he was roughhousing with some of his friends. There's a pole that crosses over the stairs that is just the right height that if you jump, you can catch it and swing off the last few steps. The uncle was doing this, slipped and fell, and hit his head on the stairs. While it did not kill him, he did develop subsequent issues as an older teen adult and was sent out of state to an assisted living facility. He lived to be well into his 70s, if I remember correctly. I reiterate, this is a very small town. This incident is well known and remembered by some of the older residents. Many of the current theater volunteers even attended school in the building way back in the day. My mother-in-law taught there in her early 20s and is now in her late 60s. Personally, I've only ever experienced a strange shadow, but there's always a sense of general unease in the building. I'm very aware that there could be perfectly mundane explanations for this. A trick of the light could explain the shadow, and the feelings of unease could just be a result of being in an environment that I find creepy, especially as it only happens when I'm alone or with very few people. When I saw the shadow, I was alone on stage during a break in rehearsal and looking up to the booth, and therefore behind some very bright frenzels. So, my eyes could have just been playing tricks on me. I heard noises of someone moving about and thought it was just our light board operator. I even thought I saw her silhouette in the corner of the booth. Since we were the only two in the auditorium at the time, even though the booth is not accessible to the auditorium, it opens over it where a balcony would normally be. I called out to her to make some small talk. She didn't respond. Thinking she had just not heard me, I said her name again. This whole time I've been staring at what I think is her silhouette behind and a little to the left of the frenzel, and I assumed she was working on. Right about the time I get a little peeve that she's ignoring me, she walks in the auditorium door. Now, the shadow has not moved all this time. The booth is upstairs, a good 3-minute walk from the auditorium door. I asked her had she just come down, and she said no. She'd been down for about 10 minutes, taking a bathroom break and speaking to the costumer. No one else was helping with lights that night, and the costumer and the only other actor there that night were both in the basement. It's fully furnished and is where costumes, props, and some set pieces are kept, as well as where dressing rooms are located. The stage manager and director were both on the fire escape outside the stage door behind me. I could hear the two of them talking the whole time. When I looked back up from our lighting designer, the shadow was gone. Just a trick of light? Possibly. Unnerving? Definitely. I haven't been to the light booth alone since and don't see that happening anytime in the near future. One night, during the same show, one actor arrived before the other four. The director, stage manager, and lighting and sound operators were all upstairs. So the only people in the basement were our costumer and this one performer. There were only four people in the show, two women and two men. As the performer begins to head down the hall of dressing rooms, she sees another actor kneeling, pressed up against the wall in the corner of his dressing room. Thinking he's trying to scare her, we all play pranks on each other regularly and make her drop all the stuff in her hands, she loudly says, "Nice try, I see you," and walks past his dressing room to her own. She's laughing, and once she sets her stuff down, she sticks her head back in his room and speaks to him. No one is there. My husband and I were the next actors to arrive. The man she saw didn't arrive until 30 minutes later. He'd been kept late at work, so we'd know for a fact it was not him. She described the figure as being a male with fair skin and dark hair. Matches the description of the actor whose dressing room it was. Wearing a neutral-colored button-down shirt and dark slacks that looked to be period-correct for the show we were doing. Set in the late 30s or early 40s. She thought he was kneeling because his head had only come up to about the doorknob height, but once she realized it wasn't the actor, she thought it might have been a child. Regardless of age, it was very obviously male, and my husband was the first male to arrive that night. Interestingly enough, the actor whose dressing room the figure was in is the man whose uncle was injured at the building. The other stories all happened before I became involved with the theater, but both come from ladies I trust and who I've never known to be untruthful. The first is actually the board director. She was in the theater alone one day, downstairs organizing some scripts. She heard a very clear voice behind her whisper, "What is she doing?" She booked it out of there pretty quickly. The second lady, the costumer, was leaving the building one night after finishing some sewing. Again, she was the only person in the building. The way the building is designed is a long central hall with a staircase at each end and rooms off either side of the hall. The costumer was at the side door, where one staircase is located, and hit the light switch, turning off the hall lights. Right before she hit the switch, she looked down the length of the hall to the opposite staircase. She says she saw a tall man in a dark suit and a top hat standing on the landing. She blinked, and he was gone. There have also been the usual instances of things going missing, only to turn up days later in a very obvious place or somewhere completely random.
Okay. I wonder, and I'm not saying specifically about this building, but because this building obviously has some entities within it.
Mm-hmm.
But do you think there's buildings that maybe aren't truly haunted with an entity, but they just hold such a weird energy that they just feel creepy even though there's nothing actually there except the energy that's been absorbed by the building?
So you're saying not even like residual haunting or anything like that, just the energy itself, but nothing is ever manifesting in any way, shape, or form?
Yeah.
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 I was kind of thinking that's where this was going to go, that it was just a creepy building that had a weird vibe, but it sounds like there's a lot of different things going on.
Yeah.
And what I'm trying to figure out is if the entity that, and it may be more than one, that looked like somebody else that they knew
mm-hmm.
at two different times, two different people,
mm-hmm.
if it's something that likes to just mask itself as somebody familiar.
Or if it just happened to look like that someone familiar.
Yeah.
Too. Yeah, I mean, it's very hard to tell. I mean, it seems like whatever is there isn't really necessarily out to get anyone or cause harm. It's just kind of doing its own thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, I wonder if it even wants to be seen.
Yeah.
You know, it's just people seem to happen to catch it in various, you know, times and places.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a lot of ghosts out there that they really don't care to be seen.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of ones that, you know, that were human that are, would rather not frighten people. You know, they have that in their mind and they're like, I don't want to give somebody a heart attack here, you know, because they're seeing a dead person. I just kind of get the vibe that whatever it is just there. It's not out to do anything or even really communicate. It's just there.
Mm-hmm.
And that one night where it was watching from the soundboard area, just watching the play.
Yeah.
It's an interesting thing, an interesting story, and interesting how theaters and such seem to hold a lot of energy. And which makes sense, though.
Well, and especially this one, because this one had been a school.
Yeah.
And then it became a theater. So it was like a double dose.
Sure. So you get the energy and whatever ghost is there.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I can see exactly what you said. Just the energy.
Mm-hmm.
I've gotten that. You know, there's a lot of places that I've felt been to or, you know, went to over my life where it was no ghost story connected. You'd ask around. Nobody has a ghost story, but you sure felt weird there.
Yeah.
Like, well, I don't know what the deal is. I can think of like one of the churches that I went to as a kid. Never had a ghost story about the church, but a lot of energy.
Yeah.
In a very old building, especially in the basement, you know. And mm-hmm. you get that feeling, the weirdness of a basement to begin with. But just felt like there was something more down there. Anyhow, 855-853-4802. That's our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost story with us. You can also write in, of course, at realghoststoriesonline.com. Elizabeth writes in, hi guys, my name's Elizabeth. I love the show. It helps my 10-hour shifts go by a lot faster. My story is kind of long, but has had a big impact on me, and I'd love to hear your opinions on it, especially because most people think I imagined my experiences. It all started from what I can remember as a simple game of hide and seek. My cousin came over with me, with my aunt, to help us move our final things out of the house. While waiting on the adults to finish things up, my sister, age 9, and my cousin, age 11, and I, age 6, are playing hide and seek in the empty house. My sister hid in my old room closet. After a few minutes, she screamed and ran to find us. She told my cousin and me that while in the closet, she felt a cold breeze and heard a man's voice say to go away. My cousin and I went into the closet and we didn't hear anything but felt how cold it was. We told my mom and she didn't seem surprised. She explained to me that as a baby, I used to point to the closet and yell, man. Also, I would scream in my sleep and the only way to wake me up was by pouring cold water on me. My mom said she didn't think anything of it until she, too, saw an old woman in our bathroom. So my mom investigated and found out that a man died in my room. This didn't explain the old lady. We moved out and into the house my parents currently still live in. My bed was on the same side of the door, right by it, actually, so you could reach my feet from the door while I was in bed. My dad used to wake me up by tickling my feet. I was about 12 at the time, and one night I was awoken by someone tickling my foot. I looked up, but it was dark and I couldn't see anything. I asked my dad what he was doing, assuming it was him, but got no reply. Instead, bright light, seeming like a flashlight, was shining in my face, and I asked again, "Dad, what do you want?" Again, no reply, but the light turned off and I heard someone walk away. The next morning, I asked my dad about it, and he swore he was in bed with my mom the whole night. When I was 17, I moved into my sister's old bedroom, and my brother moved into my room. My brothers would scream at night, saying the black figure with a scary face was in his closet. He called it the Merman. In my new room, I woke up at 3-something in the morning, a normal thing for me. I'd wake up at 3 a.m. almost every night. I checked my phone and then put it down. I then felt something pulling on my ankle. As I started to turn around, out of the corner of my eye, I saw something dash down below my bed. I sleep on a foam mattress, and I could see where it was filling back out from whatever had been on it. I stayed up all night, praying and surrounded by blankets. The last experience with this possible merman was my freshman year in college. I almost said fisherman year.
I was going to laugh. Fisherman.
And merman. I think that's where the just kind of naturally came out. My dorm room was always freezing while those around us were incredibly hot. They had people constantly trying to fix it, but my room always stayed cold. So cold that my paints were frozen. They appeared like they had been in a fridge. One night, in the room alone, I turned off Family Guy around 2:30 a.m., a normal college student's bedtime. I was lying on my stomach with my face towards the wall, my left arm on the edge of my bed. I then felt something rubbing my arm. As I lifted my head to look, the same thing happened like before. Just a dark figure dart behind the bed. I ended up so scared, I moved into another dorm. I told friends, but it became a joke to them of the haunted dorm room, but it actually freaked me out. I'm scared of the dark now. This has been the last of the merman, but I am worried why it followed me for so long. I believe he is the black figure I saw in the woods one time, which I called in about. I hope he's gone now. I was wondering if you could give me some insight as to what is going on. You're being haunted.
Yeah, and I wonder, I'm curious why they call him the merman.
Yeah.
I'm just curious if he had some kind of physical trait that made them think of that or not.
Did he have a fish bottom?
Yeah.
I don't know. I was waiting for that part of the story as far as why he was being called the merman. As to what it is, I don't know. I have no idea. I'm not getting negative really here. I'm not getting positive. I'm getting it's somewhat intelligent.
I may be crazy, but yeah. I almost feel like it's maybe wanting to be a protective entity towards her.
Okay.
Just because it's followed her for so long and even off at college and to the point where it's staying in the dorm with her. Because it doesn't sound really malicious. It's just there.
And disturbing when you see it.
Yeah.
Because it's something dark and unexplained.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be why it's certainly scary, you know.
Yeah.
But I think you might be right.
And that might be the reason that it has stayed with you. Because, I mean, you could have moved into a home where it was already there. And then it was like, ooh, I feel like I need to protect this person. And then it just goes with you.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. That's kind of the vibe I was getting from it.
That seems to make the most sense.
Because,
I didn't even think of it from that angle. Because I would imagine if there was something negative that was going to be going on with this or plaguing you, it would have happened by now.
Yeah.
And it just seems to just kind of, it's one of those where I agree, like protector, but again, probably one that doesn't intentionally try to be seen.
And if it is that, I think if you were to ask it to leave and not come back, if it doesn't have any ill intent, it probably would do that.
Or just not be seen.
Yeah, but the freezing her out of her dorm room is not a good idea either.
Yeah, that's true. Maybe there was a reason.
Could be.
I mean, that's an interesting, you know, thought, you know, with, you know, you just think, oh, inconvenience. Mm-hmm. It's freezing in my dorm room. Maybe there was some reason to be frozen out of the dorm room. Maybe it knew that she should not be there that night for whatever reason. I don't know. Very hard to tell, but very interesting story. Thank you for sharing your story. And no, you're not crazy. So we do appreciate you calling in and or writing in and sharing that experience with us. The number, of course, 855-853-4802. Kayla writes in, I'm new to your podcast, and I want to say first off for you guys to keep up the amazing work. I look forward to updates. And my coworkers and I listen while we close the pawn shop I work at every night. Now on to my ghost story I wanted to share. We lost my grandfather last August to lung cancer, and his birthday is on July 4th. I took it the hardest of all the grandchildren because he basically raised me along with my grandma during my early childhood, so I knew it was going to be a tough day. I decided to buy him a single firework to set off on the 4th, which I felt he would have loved. On the night of the 3rd, I was sitting on my bed drawing a new sticker set for an upcoming convention I was going to sell at, and all of a sudden, I smelled Lucky Strike cigarettes. I knew the smell all too well because my grandfather smoked these like a chimney when I was growing up. No one in the house, which just includes my boyfriend, me, and my cat, Smoke. I don't know what came over me, but I ended up spending an hour sitting on the floor in my bathroom basically having an anxiety attack. Once I calmed down, I settled into bed and went to sleep, exhausted from the whole ordeal. I wake up to something pinching and shaking my kneecap, which my grandfather used to tickle me when I was little. I whispered, "Happy birthday, Papa. I love you." And the sensation in my knee stopped. Needless to say, nothing has happened since then, but it comforted me, knowing that he was there.
I think it was just a visit.
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, smells are one of those things that do tend to arrive when you have a loved one showing up.
Mm-hmm.
And to have that very specific smell there.
Yeah.
You know, able to pick the brand.
Yeah.
I think you got a good chance that it was indeed your grandfather showing up and not something else.
Yeah. And he probably felt bad sending you into an anxiety attack.
Sure.
And that might be why he wanted to just try and comfort you even more.
Mm-hmm. Very, very cool story. Thank you for sharing that with us. 855-853-4802, our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Of course, if you've not done so yet, press that subscribe button. Whatever platform you listen to us on, iTunes, Stitcher, YouTube, Spotify, TuneIn Radio, Blog Talk Radio, there's a lot. You press subscribe, you don't miss any episodes of the show. If you're new to the show and you found us in one of those platforms, there you go. We're on a lot of other places too. So pick your platform of choice, and then you can get our show every single day that we release it. So enjoy. Kelly writes in, "Hi guys, this is Kelly. I wrote in about my mom being visited for her grandfather and mentioned that I had seen a headless apparition. So here it is. When I was about 10 years old, I was living in a place called Bolton, which is in Lancashire. One drizzly morning, I was getting ready for school when my thoughts began to drift. I was sitting by the window, just not thinking about anything, when out of the corner of my eye, I noticed some movement. I turned my head to where I saw this movement when I saw the strangest thing I've ever seen. It was an average-sized man with a golf-style knitted jumper on. He had a scarf wrapped around his neck, but above the scarf, there was nothing. He had no head, but seemed to be walking along just fine. At that point, my attention was called back into the room, and I lost sight of him. I've never been prone to seeing things this substantial, i.e., see things from the corner of my eye. Wonder if anyone else has seen this kind of thing. I'd be interested in any opinions. I have more and will write in again soon. Thank you both. Keep up the good work."
Is there a technical name for that?
Headless golfer.
No, when you see just, I guess, partial apparition, for lack of a better term.
I don't know.
I didn't know if there was or not, because we've had other stories where we had one where it was the bottom half of somebody, a man wearing a swimsuit, just from the waist down, just the swimsuit and legs. And we've had a few others where it's just like a partial apparition. It's kind of like, why is there only part of this coming through?
Well, that's what I'm wondering. Is it representative of how the individual died and that's how they're there? Or is it just only part of it's coming through? Like the signal's not strong enough?
Yeah, I don't know.
I would kind of venture to be more so in the area of the signal's not strong enough.
Yeah.
Then, you know, if you got your head, you know, whipped off in a tragic golfing accident.
I'd much rather be an apparition that has my head and maybe missing, you know, my feet.
Sure.
Than the other way around.
Because you can float and glide.
Well, it's just a lot creepier if you're missing your head.
It is. But if you're into scaring children or golfers.
Yeah.
That would be creepy.
Driving a golf cart with no head.
Oh, God. Here's one. Here's a very creepy scenario. And maybe we'll end up getting a story like this someday. Like, didn't we talk about that once? You're golfing. You're out there on the back nine, and you're far away from the rest of the you know, the clubhouse and all that, and kind of out there in maybe a wooded area. And you think you're only one on the course. You come around and like, oh, there's a party ahead. You have to wait for. No big deal. So you just kind of glance. You see them up there, and they're still on the green. So you got to sit down and wait for a few minutes. And then as you're sitting there, you look up and you just kind of keep an eye to see when they're about done, and you notice all of them are headless.
Yeah.
But they're playing golf. That would be creepy. And they're so far away. At first you'd be like, what? Kind of squinting. And then, oh yeah. Headless golfers.
That would be creepy. Just one would be creepy, as in what this listener saw.
Whole party of headless golfers.
I don't think the odds are that great that you'd have a whole party of headless golfers.
That could be the name of the show, The Headless Golfer, if we didn't already have a title on it.
Yeah.
That was, it was an interesting story. I mean, it's an interesting thing to think about how that works. I'm guessing, like I said, my bet's on the signal just not being strong enough, or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
You know. Anonymous writes in, hi, Tony and Jenny. I'd like to remain anonymous for this story, as my brother's friend building the story is involved with and is currently trying to rent out a room in said building. In October of 2014, my brother moved in with a couple of buddies from his work to part of our city where Italian settlers came to live in the U.S. in the early 1900s. I also remember him telling me it was built in 1908, so it was super old home. I remember the day he showed me around this house. The second day he moved in, it was so sweet how proud he was of his first apartment and how responsible he was. He showed me his own room, the tiny little kitchen with the butler's pantry, the teeny tiny shower and toilet, the huge living room with a pool table, and finally the basement. He told me one of the roommates lived in the basement but wasn't home, so he took me down there to see it. This was the last part of the house I had yet to see. It was very dark, musty, and the stairs creaked in pain with every step we took. We finally got down to the tiny basement with a pull string light being the only thing to allow us to see. His roommate's room was about 5 yards away from the last step on the staircase. We walked over to it, but it was locked. We turned to go back up to the stairs, but then I laid eyes on another room. My brother told me it was a storage room, but remained empty. I thought this was odd, as they just moved in. It has a dirt floor, and when I stepped in the room, I had this immense pressure on my chest. The best way to describe the pressure was when you get an X-ray and they put the protective jacket or vest over your neck and chest. It was a very heavy, dense feeling that made you feel like I would pass out. I looked at him and told him I needed to get back upstairs immediately. He gave me a cross look of confusion and worry. As we quickly headed for the stairs, when we got upstairs, he said, "What the hell's wrong?" I told him what I felt and that I could never go down there again. He paused for a minute, looked at the floor, and then looked at me longingly. He then said, "I didn't want to freak you out because I know you're sensitive to ghostly stuff, but the previous owner died downstairs in the storage room I took you in. She was an elderly woman and tried to get something down from one of the shelves, but it fell on her and she died. I don't want to put anything in there because thinking of it freaks me out." He also went on to tell me that he didn't want to tell me before I came in because then he knew that I would not want to come in at all. Fast forward to May of 2015 and I visit him again in his house. We see each other every week, but I have refused to go to his house up until this point. The plans we had made more sense for me to come to pick him up. I rang him to let him know I was there, and he said he was still not ready and to come in. I knocked on the door and was greeted by the roommate who lives in the basement. We started a casual conversation as he then proceeded to tell me how tired he was. I asked him why, and he told me that he kept getting woken up in the middle of the night. Surprised, I listened intently. He continued to tell me that he wakes up and sees an elderly woman he believes to be the one who wakes him up. He said she stands at the side of his bed staring at him and just keeps gasping silently, and then will dissipate like she wasn't even there. I turned white, backed up out of the house, called to my brother that I'll meet him in my car. I still have not been back, but I've always been curious about the history of the house since it's over 100 years old, but then I feel like it would give me more of a reason to not go back, LOL. Thanks to such an amazing show and the platform for the paranormally affected and paranormally sensitive to get these stories off our chest.
I would imagine there's more going on than just the old lady in the basement.
Sure.
Because of the age of the house.
Yeah.
But she's probably the strongest one and probably gets a lot of the blame for things that go on.
She's the freshest of the dead.
Oh, that's gross. Yes. Freshest.
That's a fun phrase.
I don't like freshest. I don't like that word.
Freshly dead. Freshest of the dead.
That's gross.
Freshy fresh. I'm coming up with some fun ones today.
Yeah, you're special.
Do you think that that is the case? The more freshly dead you are, the stronger your... since we're using the term signal today, is?
No, I think it has more to do with an instantaneous death.
Mm-hmm.
All the energy is probably lost in a hurry. You know, you have a lot of instant deaths that
sure
seem to produce stronger spirits.
Okay.
I think in this case, it's more that than the fact that she may be the freshest dead.
Okay. I got you to say freshest dead.
You sure did.
Freshy dead. It's kind of like the thought of running out of a tank of gas. You know, if you were, for whatever reason, suddenly in a car accident and your car, you know, blew up or something, bam, you know, fuel's spilling out and everything's right there really quickly. As opposed to slowly puttering along until your tank is gone.
Mm-hmm.
So it's more likely to have more of an impact right there than just it's slowly. Yeah. But you know, you still have a lot of hauntings of people who did slowly die. It's interesting.
It is interesting.
There's no right or wrong answer to any of this.
No.
But interesting to think about. Davey writes in, this event took place back in 2008 and I had a friend over from school and we were both downstairs in my basement playing a video game. We were sitting on the couch and we had paused the game for some reason or another, and right before we resumed the game, we heard a very light whisper of my name, Davey, come from behind the couch. Now, behind our couch, we had a lot of stuff, not much room to walk around. I'd asked my friend if he heard that, and he said, yeah, but swore up and down that it wasn't him, that it sounded as if it was right behind us. So I figured it was my sister trying to be funny. I called out her name and said, very funny, you got us, where are you? There was no answer, so I yell for my sister and she yells back from upstairs. She had been talking with my mom in the kitchen the entire time. The only other person in my house at this time was my dad, so I hollered for him. I heard his recliner fold up upstairs and heard his footsteps as he walked to the top of the staircase to see what we wanted. Never could I explain what we heard that day. The next day, we're downstairs again. My mom called me upstairs, and I don't remember what the reason was, but I went up, and I was there for a few minutes, and then all of a sudden, my friend screams my name and comes running upstairs. He had told us that there was a blue ball that was full of air that began to bounce by itself. He said it bounced about 4 feet off the ground 3 or 4 times and slowly came to a rest on the floor. A few years had passed, and my mom's cousin decided she wanted to have a psychic party. Which, in case you haven't heard, is one of those before it's when a psychic comes to your house and you have 10 people or so pay for a session with him or her. At the time of the party, I was only 16 or 17, and for some reason, you had to be 18 to have a full session, but she allowed me to go into the room with my mom for a few minutes. She told me some stuff that was about me, and I have no idea how she knew. She said she was seeing an older man that wore glasses and had a beard. The only man I could think of that fit that description was my grandpa that had passed away back in 2001, that he was showing her a blue kid's bowl that was full of air. I thought about that for a while, couldn't think of anything that could be related to that, and him, and I. I asked my mom if she had any idea, and she couldn't think of anything either. A couple days had passed, about a week or so, when I was sitting in the living room with my parents, and it had hit me like a train that it was my grandpa that was bouncing the ball in the basement that my friend had seen. I haven't talked to a psychic since that one time to maybe get some sort of answer, but I'm really curious about it and wanted to know what y'all think. Thanks for doing the show, and thanks for the time it took to read this. I know it wasn't a very short story. Well, thanks again, and have a great day.
I don't think there's any reason to doubt that it's the grandfather.
No, no, not at all. And it's what's interesting is how long it took them to kind of come to that realization of who it very well might be. Yeah, I would say, again, it's one of those cases where all signs point to it being something not malicious or evil or anything like that. You just never really know. But if you were to make a guess, and I'd say probably Grandpa was bouncing the ball.
Yeah.
So I think I'd leave it at that. That's kind of a nice little thing to have sometime.
What I want to know is if the voice, after they thought about it, possibly being the grandfather, if the voice that whispered his name, if that sounded like the grandfather at all.
That'd be interesting. Interesting to know the answer to that question. I wonder if that's an iffy one, too, because it's one of those things where you only hear it once, so you got to have a pretty good recollection of what it sounded like. And if you start, suggesting things like, was it like the sound of my grandpa's voice? Then you may start hearing it in your head in the grandpa's voice.
Well, and I think it depends on if your grandfather had any kind of distinct sound or if he just sounded just like a normal person. Like either one of my mom's parents, they have a very distinct accent.
Yeah, you would know it.
I would know it was them.
It'd be interesting. Interesting to know the answer to that. Thanks for writing in that letter to us. Let's go to a caller. Hi.
Okay, so I just called, and I really don't know what happened. I guess I lost connection. But I was telling you guys about how this woman who used to own our law firm, the one that I work at, she committed suicide in the building, and after it like burned down and stuff, the lights will flicker on and off by themselves. The doors where you have to have a proxy pass, it'll just swing open by itself. There's no sensor, anything that works. The water fountains will just go on by themselves. And I was talking to one of my coworkers, and we both have like a similar gift. And the lights like flickered on and off and then on and off again. And then we went over by the water fountain to refill our water bottles. And all of a sudden, the whole thing, we didn't even touch it. The whole fountain just went on by itself. And a couple weird things have been happening recently. Like, the doors will lock them. And, like, there's only a couple of people who have the keys. And, like, the doors will just, like, unlock by itself for, like, the main office that we need to get all, like, the filing done. It'll be locked, and then, like, we'll go to unlock it, and the door will already be unlocked, and we only have, like, a set of keys. So it's been pretty weird. I don't know if it's a coincidence or something, but I just wanted to share my story. I just wanted to tell you guys that I really love the show, and I listen to you guys all day. And I think that you guys have a really good chemistry, and you guys work really well together. So keep the good stories coming. All right, bye.
People seem to like us together. Maybe we should get married.
Is that a proposal?
It is.
You didn't get down on your knee or anything.
I'm on my knee right now.
Okay. I'll marry you. Sure.
Okay, there we go.
Okay. Now, I think if there was an activity before all that happened, the suicide and the fire, that could be very well what it is.
Yeah. It sounds like it'd be one heck of a workplace.
Mm-hmm.
It could be kind of fun if you're into that sort of thing.
I don't know. I think it would be hard to have hauntings and to know it's this poor lady that used to own the law firm who killed herself.
Yeah, that part is a little bit depressing, but it sounds like she's being helpful, like she's still trying to be a part of it.
Yeah, that's true.
So maybe she's still doing what she loves. Maybe she found peace, but it's still working there.
Could be.
Without the influence or the issues of the real world. I don't know. Interesting story. Thank you for calling in and sharing that with us. Let's go to Caleb. Hi.
Hey, Tony and Jenny. This is Caleb calling from Albany, New York. I've been only listening to the show for about under a week now, and I've been blown through the podcast. I'm probably going to become an EPP pretty soon. But anyways, I haven't really had many experiences in my life, but I figured I'd share this quick one that I had while I was in Australia, actually. I was walking home from school one night, and I was going through some just some back roads, back neighborhood roads, whatnot. And there was an area where there wasn't a lot of street lights, so there was a stretch where it was pretty dark. Generally, I've never really been scared of the dark or anything like that, so I'm just going through. I had my headphones in. I was, checking email on my phone. I wasn't really paying attention. And all of a sudden, a sense of fear and dread just came over me. It's something I've never felt before in my entire life. And I all of a sudden get chills all up and down my spine. And I was in Australia, like I said, so it was pretty warm. And all of a sudden, I just get really cold, and I look up, and that sense of fear and dread just gets worse when I see this shadow person. I've been listening to the podcast, like I said, a lot, and I hear a lot of talks about a shadow figure. And at first, I thought it was a person, but when I looked closely, I could see that it had two red eyes. And at first, I thought it was just like a guy, like, for the eyes where I thought it maybe was like a butt of a cigarette, somebody smoking a cigarette. But when I looked closely, he definitely had two glowing red eyes. And I freaked out, and I just briskly kept walking with my head down. And I kept walking. I get past him, and I look back, and there was nothing there. I know it's kind of lame, and it's a short story, but I figured I'd share it with you guys. Hope you liked it. Really, like I said, I really enjoy the podcast, and I'll definitely be coming in EPP pretty soon. Keep up the good work. Thanks. Bye.
I think it's kind of a good thing when people are able to put the, you know, make the connection.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, he may have had that experience years ago, and now he's able to realize, okay, it's a shadow person. That's what that's called.
Yeah.
And we talk about shadow people with eyes quite a bit, glowing one color or another. So
I was going to say, have we ever had a story where the shadow person, or not even a shadow person, just anything with glowing red eyes turned out to be something not bad? Like, red eyes seems to be the dead giveaway. There's something not good about to happen.
I don't think so, but do you remember the story of the choking baby in the crib? And the guy was, his niece, and he was babysitting her, mm-hmm. and he woke up and he saw this entity that had glowing eyes take the thing out of the baby's mouth and throw it onto the floor.
Yep, yep.
That would be the only one, but I don't think the eyes were red.
It was just really creepy.
Mm-hmm.
But it did, in fact, save the day.
It saved the day, but it had glowing eyes.
Creepy.
Yeah.
Hey, glowing eyes. Don't like the idea. But hey, when they're saving your child, I don't care if it has 20 eyes.
Sure.
Yeah, that's fine with me. So thank you for the call and the story. We really do appreciate that. Let's do a couple of the Ask Tony and Jenny questions here. I closed Facebook, not thinking. So let me bring that back up, and we can answer some of your questions. If you have any questions for us, you can post them to us on our social media page at Facebook. You just go through our thread there, and you'll find the section where it says another round of Ask Tony and Jenny, what would you like to ask? And then we answer your questions here on the show, and then also through a special video segment, different questions on that one. And that goes to our EPPs. You can see the first two episodes of that in the EPP section Just go to realghoststoriesonline.com, go to the EPP section, and when you're signed up, you have access to those videos in case you're wondering what we actually look like. There you go.
Special.
Right. Special. Sherry writes in, how do you know if the stories are real ghost stories?
You never truly know.
You don't? No.
But we approach each one as if, you know, it is absolutely as honest
mm-hmm.
as possible.
Sure. I mean, there's, you'd be surprised. I mean, we don't seem to get a lot of, 12-year-old, I'm making the story up and I'm just going to send it into you, do we?
No, they don't take the time to write.
Yeah.
I get a lot of calls from,
sure.
obviously, 12-year-olds.
And yeah.
what they don't realize is I can see the phone number the call came from. So they will literally, like I had one today, I had four calls from the same number and
uh-huh.
they came and they called in three different bogus voices.
Uh-huh.
And it was just, and then most of the time they start laughing and they have to hang up.
Sure. And it's just delete.
Yeah.
So, yeah. It's amazing. I mean, you can totally screen things that way. And it saves you time because once you get one, you know, that's bogus. You just never read that caller again or listen to that caller again.
No.
But for the most part, I mean, that really hasn't been a huge issue. Some stories, you know, are a little more outlandish than others, but, you know, we just kind of take people at their word on this show. And it's not, let's judge if these are, completely true or accurate. It's just an account of someone's experiences. And, you know, the show was designed really to entertain and to relate. And everybody can take what they want from it. And
yeah.
if you don't want to believe a story, that's fine. And there's really also no reason to call that out either. It's just... It is what it is.
It is what it is. And we also just kind of operate on the standpoint of ghost or a fact here.
Yeah.
And so there's not that question.
Yeah. We just accept if you're going to tell us a ghost story, we'll believe that you're telling us what you believe happened to you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. So there you go. James, do you guys have some trouble sleeping at night after some very creepy stories? You?
Remarkably, no. And that was my biggest hesitation. You really had to work on me to get me to do the show with you the first time.
Mm-hmm.
And when we first started doing the show, we did it at night after the kids went to bed.
Mm-hmm.
And then as we got to where we were doing the show more often, and it just seemed like there was, you know, all kinds of different things to consider as far as within the stories, new things to fear. We now do the show about 3 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a good... amount of time to, you know, distract myself and get anything that might cause me to have a nightmare out
sure.
of my head.
But even when we were doing it at night, you didn't seem to have...
No, I seem to have bigger problem with things that I see. Like, I can't watch horror movies.
Yeah, I'm not allowed to turn anything remotely spooky on at night
no.
before bed.
No, but I can listen to all these stories and
yeah.
be okay so far, knock on wood.
So... There you go.
Yeah.
No, I really, I don't really have anything nightmarish about the show. I haven't even had the bad radio dream about the show where buttons aren't working.
Mm-hmm.
Because radio people tend to have that where you're in a studio and your CD players aren't playing and you can't get your mic to turn off or all of which these things do happen.
Sure.
In real life, in radio. I've had it where you had the mic off and down, and somehow it was still picking people up.
Uh-huh.
I've had it where you have two CD players, and this was in the 90s on a top 40 station, and there's the computer at that time we had played the commercials, and that was it. Everything else was on carts or was on the CDs, and they were cheap, and they had two CD players. Normally, you have a third for a backup. In the event that one of them goes down, because you segue songs,
mm-hmm.
so you can't just operate on one CD player. And I remember one whole shift, one afternoon, I get in there, and I was like 16, and the guy's like, well, CD 2 went out, so you just got the one. I've been trying to play these long sweepers between the songs. And a sweeper is the voice guy you hear between songs that say the station name. And they're typically 3 to 5 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
Not enough time to pull a CD out, get the next one in, and load it.
Yeah.
Because it sits there and loads. That's why you have another CD player. So I was trying to find there's like five sweepers maybe in their whole library that were like 7 or 8 seconds. So I'm rotating through those and then just really quickly trying to get it. And what went out was the more reliable of the CD players in the past.
Oh, no.
So the one that was working was the one that sometimes wouldn't load quickly. So that was a joy. And then you have nightmares about that. And yeah, so there's the nightmares I have. It's about that. Let's see here. Carla, I know in the beginning Jenny was very weary of doing ghost hunts and scary movies. How has that changed since then? And would you consider doing a real ghost hunt now with your new knowledge?
I don't think it's changed much at all. I think I've seen one scary movie since we started doing the show together.
Yeah.
And that was because it was less scary than the flight we were on. It was The Conjuring, and we watched it in flight. But we have gone to a couple places that are haunted, but not in hopes of seeing things or doing any investigating.
Mm-hmm.
It's just one of those things, like the whole city of Savannah is haunted.
Sure.
But I'm still very weary of going and doing any investigating because I have, like I've said before, I have a paranormal kick me sign on my back.
Yeah.
And shit just seems to happen to me.
And we don't want to bring anything home with us.
No.
So that's another thing where it's like, yeah, we've heard one too many stories of things following people, and that's really not what we're into.
No.
So that's that. There's some Ask Tony and Jenny. You can watch the video versions up on the EPP section at realghoststoriesonline.com for even more answers to your questions. All right. Until next time. Oh, by the way, if you want to support the show, keep us on the air. EPP, that's what we're talking about. Become an extra podcast person. It's $5 a month. You get access to more than 50 bonus episodes. You get those exclusive video content pieces and more. Sign up. Keep us going. We greatly appreciate that, and thank you so much in advance. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.